New York City as you see it now?
It's a quiet city.
My recommendation always is if you don't know the person and you don't know where they've been, don't touch them.
Very quiet.
Can the banks withstand what's going on at the moment?
Yeah, they can very easily. You see, this is not a banking crisis.
Back tomorrow, 12 till 4pm. Simon Barnett and Phil Gifford afternoons. Keeping Kiwis in the know on Newstalk ZB. Scrutinising the stories of the day on Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive. This is Newstalk ZB News.
It's 5.30. I'm Raylene Ramsey. New Zealand will be going into a full lockdown from 11:59pm Wednesday for at least 4 weeks, with 2 days until then to prepare. Director General of Health Dr. Ashley Bloomfield has confirmed 36 new cases of the coronavirus today, taking the total to 102. Bloomfield says more than half the new cases are directly related to overseas travel. But he says a couple of cases haven't a clear infection trail.
There remain currently two that we cannot be certain where the infection came from, and we are therefore treating them as community transmission.
And from today, travel is now limited. Public venues are closed and all mass gatherings must be cancelled. Supermarkets, doctors, pharmacies, service stations and essential banking services will continue to be available, and there are plenty of grocery supplies for everybody. But educational facilities and non-essential businesses will close on Wednesday. Non-acute services and procedures in hospitals will be deferred, and healthcare staff will be reprioritised. Phone companies have had a spike in use since the announcement and are encouraging people to use internet-based communications while they clear the overload. The government's wage subsidy will now be available to all businesses, and the $150,000 four-week cap for each business has been scrapped. Meanwhile, Westpac's cut its fixed-term housing interest rates for borrowers. From tomorrow, its one-year special housing rate will be 3.09%, its two-year will be 3.39%. To sport, and all rugby in New Zealand has been suspended for this foreseeable future, and an internal Super Rugby competition appears unlikely. Major stakeholders have been working on ways to progress a revised Super Rugby competition, but these plans are now on hold. And Australia and Canada won't travel to the Olympic Games if they are held this year. I'm Raylene Ramsey. That is Newstalk ZB News and Sport to 5.33. Heather Duplessy-Allen is moments away.
Newstalk ZB Auckland. Time saver traffic.
Join the One News team tonight at 6. Good evening. Now, Calliope Road in Devonport still closed between Roslyn Terrace and Shoal Bay Road. Avoid the area if you can and keep us updated on 0800 jammed. Southern Motorway heavy southbound from Khyber Pass through to the southeastern arterial. Heavy heading out west from the causeway and a heavy patch northern on the northbound on the northern motorway from Sunninook. Tonight on One News, the latest details as the country prepares for lockdown.
What's 98 inches, full 8K and taking up one whole wall of your living room right now? Yep, that'll be your brand new TV. But now, it's not just wall art. Because now, thanks to Barker Business Brokers, you actually have time to watch it. Barker Business Brokers specialise in selling businesses. So if it's time to sell yours, contact Barker Business Brokers, licensed REAA 2008. Then the only thing you'll have to worry about is how to kill all that time.
For in-depth discussion and debate with a special focus on issues affecting all of us, it's Newstalk ZB Afternoons with Dulux. Visit dulux.co.nz and let Dulux help you refresh your home room by room with lots of inspiration, tips and advice to help you get the best results for your home projects. Always informative and entertaining, it's Newstalk ZB Afternoons with Dulux. 1 till 4 weekdays only on Newstalk ZB.
There's driving and there's driving excellence. Continental Cars has been driving excellence in new and used car sales, finance, service, parts and accessories for over 50 years. To experience the difference between driving and driving excellence for yourself, visit the brand new Continental Cars BMW now on Wairau Road. Or in Newmarket, visit Continental Cars Audi, Porsche, Volkswagen, Ferrari and the Continental Cars Performance Centre and Continental Cars Tyre Centre. Experience the difference between driving and driving excellence. Continental Cars.
OneNet brings you all you need to know about emerging technology. Keeping up with new developments isn't easy. It's not like you can hire some IT whiz to keep you on top of it. All you need to know is that OneNet makes it their job to help you navigate emerging tech and to stay ahead of the game. The IT expert who's already on your team. Trust OneNet. Still the one to call. 0800 OneNet or onenet.co.nz.
This is a COVID-19 official government announcement. The government has placed New Zealand at level 3 on the COVID-19 alert system. From midnight on Wednesday night, the time required to ensure essential services are in place, we will move to level 4. Physical distancing of 2 metres should be observed when you're outside of your home. The public will continue to have access to essential services such as supermarkets, hospitals and pharmacies, even if we move to level 4. All educational facilities and early childhood education centres will close, except for a small provision for the children of essential workers. Restrictions will be put in place for travel between regions, apart from people returning to their home or accessing essential services. Additional border measures will be imposed for returning New Zealanders, including the requirement to self-isolate in the city you arrive in. For further information, please visit covid19.govt.nz.
Bold opinions, probing questions. It's News Talk ZB Drive with Heather Duplessy-Allen on News Talk ZB.
Just a reminder, Grant Robertson, after 6, the huddle will be with us very shortly. We've got Shane Tupou and Chris Lynch this evening. A bunch of things I need to run you through before we get to Oliver Hartwich of the New Zealand Initiative. So level 4 is what we're going into on Wednesday, right? What you need to know about that, of course, is that schools are off, universities are closed, all non-essential businesses, the workers can't go to the office. If you're running something from home or whatever, you know, doing your online things, what, you're not interfering with anybody, carry on with what you're doing. But if you're not an essential staff member, if you're not an essential worker, you can't go to work. Major reprioritization of health services is going to happen. Essentially what that means is elective surgeries are going to be off. They're using those people, they're retraining them to be able to use the ventilators and keep people alive if they get crook with the coronavirus, right? And severely limited travel. So forget about domestic travel. You're not going to be able to jump on the plane and, nip over to the batch. That's off. Loads of texts still coming in for Grant Robertson, which we will put to him. Questions like, if rents are frozen, which he has basically decreed, will mortgage payments be postponed at the same time? Sounds like they're working on that. Someone has texted, I have a specialist appointment on the 18th of April. Can I still go? I'm over 70. No, unfortunately not. And this is a worrying one. I would give them a call, by the way. I think it's probably off. Here's one. Heather, here's one for the minister. I just had a client call me, works at a bar cafe. Her boss applied for and got cash from the new relief package, but told the employees the money's not for them. It goes to the boss to help his business. That shouldn't be happening. We'll talk to the minister about that as well. It's 22 to 6.
Heather Duplessy-Allen.
Right, there is no way around it. A level 4 lockdown is going to mean, of course, having just listened to that, that parts of the economy are about to grind to a complete halt. The government has now extended its COVID relief package to all businesses, not just small operations. It's also removed the $150,000 funding cap, which is a good move. Well, the finance minister is with us after 6, as we said, but right now, Dr. Oliver Hartwich from the New Zealand Initiative is with us. Oliver, hello.
Hello, good evening.
All right, so the announcement today that the cap is lifted, there's going to be more work done. Is it enough, or what else would you like to see?
I think it's a good first step. It is probably not enough because I think the situation is dire and it's only going to get worse, of course, and it's going to get even worse the longer this lockdown lasts. But then again, the government had absolutely no choice because we don't want to see a repeat of the European experience here.
What else do you see? What gaps do you see in this?
Well, basically what we have to do is we have to find a way to mothball the economy. We want to mothball the economy so we can come back and flick on the switch again when all of this is over. When the medical emergency is gone, we still want to have an economy. We still want to have an economy that can employ people, that can generate jobs, can generate taxes. But that's not going to happen if the companies are going under. So what we have to do and what the government has started to do today with this package is to make sure that companies are encouraged to keep people on. Basically, look what's happening in the economy right now. Yesterday, we heard that Hobbiton has fired 240 people. Today, we heard the same number roughly from Flight Centre. Right. And this is happening left, right and centre across the whole economy. The problem with that is, of course, that once the medical emergency is over, we actually want these companies to restart, but they won't have any staff left. But it will take a long time for them to find the specialists and the experts and the expertise that they need. So what I have in mind the government should do is something that worked in the GFC 10 years ago in countries such as Germany. So in Germany, for example, companies were compensated. They could reduce the working hours of their employees, and the employees got a compensation at least for 80% of the lost earnings. And in that way, the companies could stay, the employees could stay with the companies. They were not laid off. And then once the crisis is over, they could be reactivated overnight. And that's how Germany managed to get through the GFC 10 years ago. Right. And I think something very similar is needed here.
Oliver, the obvious difference there, and between, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me what you're proposing, the difference between what we've got and what you're proposing, is that at the moment we are reducing the employees, essentially, the subsidy to a very low rate. But what you're saying is if you've got somebody being paid $100,000 a year, you subsidise $80,000 of it. Regardless of what they're paid, you pay 80% of it. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely what I'm saying, and I think that's roughly what the UK government is doing. In the UK, the government is compensating workers for up to £2,500 a month. And in New Zealand, we're still talking about just subsidising companies for the minimum wage equivalent. I think that's probably not enough, because what we want to see is we want people to be still to be able to serve their mortgage, for example, and actually service their mortgage.
Yes.
We want people not to go into debt themselves. We actually want to make sure that we can get out of this crisis and have consumers that can still spend, companies that are still being able to ramp up their production and deliver services again. So I think we should do whatever we can to just keep the economy as it is currently, mothball it so it can come back.
And finally, the reason that we've seen places like Flight Centre and Hobbiton laying off staff, is that because the package was just not generous enough last week?
No, I mean, they're going off, of course, because we have effectively switched off tourism.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long this is going to last. I mean, some tourism might actually come back, some domestic tourism at least, when the medical emergency is gone. Some other parts of tourism will take a lot longer to come back, because we can already see in America, in Europe, that this medical emergency is likely to last for about a year. And for that time, I think we are very unlikely to see any kind of international tourism return to New Zealand in a meaningful form.
Yes, all right. Oliver, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Oliver Hartwich, who is, of course, the Executive Director at the New Zealand Initiative. It is now 18 to 6.
The Huddle with SpotGap. Better your business with an unsecured business loan.
All right, with me on the Huddle, we have Chris Lynch and Shane Thapoe. Hi, lads.
Hi there.
All right, Shane, so we'll start with you. We've had this announcement today. I mean, you and I have talked about it. We knew it was coming at some stage, but it's still quite, I mean, I feel like I'm in a bit of shock. What about you?
Oh, yeah, no. I've been prepared for it for a little while, but yeah, I am in shock. And I think like most Kiwis, it was a little bit emotional today. And you know what? You know what my political hue is, but I got to say, I think that the PM done a great job. And then I watched Simon's response, and he did a great job. So I think today we're all Kiwis.
Yeah, I think so too. Chris, how are you feeling with this news?
It's a very good question. Slightly shell-shocked, to be honest with you. And this morning when I was doing the nationwide talkback and a lot of people calling for this type of measure, and you sort of had a feeling something like this may eventuate, may happen, but then when it does happen, and when I was watching on my couch, I did feel slightly numb. And I think many people probably do feel slightly numb. And just a sense of bewilderment by everything that's happening. But I think to give people peace of mind, if you only need to look at what has happened in the likes of other metropolitan cities around the globe and how they've coped, how they've maintained a sense of normality and this whole new normal. So we will get through this, we will, but it's going to take a long time.
Yeah. Shane, I feel like we were mostly ready for it, weren't we? After you had the announcement of the alert system on Saturday, that the fact that we're at level 2 but operating at level 3, you know, it kind of prepared us for it. It just felt like it was going to eventually happen.
It did. And of course, some people were saying, come on, let's do it now. But I think what had to occur is that we had to put the infrastructure in place.
Yeah.
So the type of questions that were asked and answered today were able to actually be done. And, parents were preparing to get their kids back from school, have those sort of activities, have, you know, have one mum or dad or whatever at home. So I think we had to prepare for it. And, you know, and what it shows is that, you know, we've got good social infrastructure. We've got a good civil service. We've got rural law in New Zealand. We've got a good, fundamentally good police structure, army structure. So I think that we're in the best possible position that we could be.
Yeah. And yet, Chris, you've got this human instinct, right, where you think, oh, my God.